everybody. Welcome to Viewing Angles, the internet's only movie podcast. You got me, Dan Leo, and with me
is Robert Mackey.
Yes.
We're here.
We've got a good show for you tonight. We're talking about Zombieland 2, Double Tap. Or is it just Zombieland Double Tap?
Just Zombieland Double Tap.
Nice. It rolls off the tongue. And then also The Lighthouse, the newest Robert Eggers movie, shot in black and white, starring Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe.
Ooh, yeah, I hope you like Promethean black and white 4x3 adaptations, because you're in for a treat.
I hope you like loud things, because you're in for a treat.
Sure.
This movie's loud, but we'll get into that a little bit later in the pod. Let's start off with the box office numeros. Okay, you know what? This is the wrong one that I'm looking at.
Is it?
Yeah, because Mistress of Evil, it can't have beaten out the Joker. I thought
it
the Joker
did.
Beat out Maleficent.
It did. No, I saw this on Twitter from Box Office Relations. Maleficent beat out the Joker by like $100,000.
That's
which is
bonkers.
Nothing. That's penny. That's pocket change in Hollywood accounting.
Yeah, that's like a week like 26 box office. Yeah. Made $100,000.
Yeah. So yeah, not a big box office this weekend. No movie grossed over 20 million.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. We've got Maleficent, which has been out for 2 weeks now. Pretty big drop off, but not insane, actually. Just didn't start off with that much. Then you've got Joker that's been out for like 3 weeks now, right?
Yeah.
And then The Addams Family.
Yeah.
Which has been out for 3 weeks. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that competed with The Joker. So, and look at how much The Joker made, $200 more million than The Addams Family did.
Yeah. The big first weekers this week, which didn't end up in the top three, were Countdown, the horror movie app inspired. It's apparently really bad, but it made its budget back already, so good for it.
That doesn't surprise me, but I did not know this movie was a thing until I saw a Twitter ad for it like a couple days ago.
I'm sure you're not the target demographic. And
sure.
Then Black and Blue, a story of a black female police officer
who's also a cop. Yeah, I guess you said that with police officer.
Yeah, and she witnesses the police doing something bad, but her community does not trust her because she's a cop. And that's what I could surmise from the trailer. If anyone else has seen this movie, please let us know and we'll recommend other things.
I just hated the title of this movie.
Oh, man. I laughed
so
in the theater.
Much.
I laughed.
Yeah.
It's a great title. It's a great title.
I guess.
It's the title of a fake movie.
I see. Yeah, this is a movie that you see in like one of the fake Grindhouse trailers in between Death Proof and Planet Terror.
Yeah. Black and Blue. Oh, for sure.
Starring Nicolas Cage.
Starring Nicolas Cage as a bottle of vodka. But the third one was something that you've had your eye on, right, Rob? It's The Current War.
I mean, I guess I have technically had my eye on it. I'm interested because I love Michael Shannon.
Right. What is this movie about?
This is about Thomas Edison, Nikola Tesla, and the third guy, Westinghouse, right? I forget what his fucking name is.
No, I think you're right.
George Westinghouse. That's his name.
I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know his name.
I have not seen it either. The only reason I'm curious about this movie is because it has had such a troubled production history.
And it's all Harvey Weinstein's fault.
It's all Harvey Weinstein's fault, but they are officially releasing it under they're officially releasing it as The Current War, the director's cut.
Right.
Which is hilarious to me.
Weinstein famously had a lot of edits that apparently made the movie worse, made the movie like really bad. And then so the way to release this movie, which was made like 2 years ago, was to give the director the final edit, get it out as soon as possible, and then I assume put it on streaming services.
Yeah, so I will watch this when it comes to whatever streaming service it comes to first.
Yeah, and The Lighthouse actually made more than The Current War did.
Yeah, I believe it. A24 is a brand now.
Yeah, I don't know if I could recommend this movie. I was talking to my mom about this movie and I was like, I don't know if I could recommend this movie to most people. Because yeah. It's out there. It's very out there.
It is. But I will always do that just because I want to see, like, more than getting people to like a movie, I recommend a movie because I want to see their reaction to it.
Yeah. I mean, I would say let's just get right into this movie. Let's do this first. We'll do Zombieland at the end as a little teaser. But this movie was so affecting for me. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on. It's very stylistically coherent and elaborate. It takes place with Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe trapped in a lighthouse. Not trapped. They're working there. Willem Dafoe is the older, more senior lighthouse operator, and Robert Pattinson is kind of the new guy. So you've got that power dynamic built in. It's shot in black and white in 4:3, and the conditions are intense on this lighthouse. I feel like we shouldn't spoil too much in this because I don't think a lot of people have seen this movie, and I want them to.
Yeah, this movie is a trip. And, you know, for the first time in like 6 episodes, this is going to be a mostly spoiler-free episode for The Lighthouse.
Yes.
But I agree. This movie's affecting. And as soon as I walked out of the theater with friend of the show, Elmer, who I saw this with, I could only describe this movie as utterly hypnotic.
Yes, like a lot of repetition in the scenes.
There's a lot of repetition, but also just the amount of detail and just the effort poured in to capturing every frame of this movie is something that I don't think I've seen since maybe Robert Eggers's last movie, The Witch.
It's a very deliberately made film, and it's because you can tell that there's a lot going on and it seems like it's put together. There's an attention to detail there that lets you know that even though there's not a lot happening, you need to be paying attention to every kind of little thing, because as things start to change, the mood starts to change, the motifs start coming back, you realize that you're not in a traditional story, I would say, and that the story has been kind of happening, has been unfolding before your eyes, and by the time you kind of snap into what's going on, things are really getting wild. The story takes a lot of twists and turns. I would recommend people don't read anything about this, because it is, if you go to the movies to see something different and to have have yourself challenged, this is the movie for you.
Yeah.
You know,
I want you to get weirded the fuck out by this movie.
Yes. This definitely, when you look at art and you don't know how you feel about it, you kind of have a weird feeling that you don't know how to identify. You realize that's the art speaking to you and getting you to feel that feeling. This is a movie that I think very clearly gives you the feelings that it sets out to. It's very affecting in a deliberate way that you can tell that Robert Eggers had so much control over everything going on. Everyone's putting in their A game. It's literally like, I've got all the setup. It's going to be weird. It's going to be crazy. But if you guys commit to this, it's going to be a coherent work. That's a little obscure.
Is that conflicting at all? Like coherent and obscure?
Yeah, because I think it's very deliberately made. I think all of the different pieces are coming together to fit a tone. That tone just happens to be a little effusive and doesn't, you know, a little disparate and abstract, you know? It's very fine brushstrokes in an abstract painting.
That's so interesting, because I feel like the tone to me, I felt throughout, it felt very consistent. I guess I can see what you're saying by it being very, like, you know, effusive.
Would you say for this movie that the ending, not even the ending, but all the way through the entire story, you're 100% sure of what is going on and what everything means?
For the most part, I think so. Like, I don't think... And that's one of the interesting parts of the movies, because I don't think that there is too much. It's weird. I know that it seems like this is a movie that to me, or that to most people, would seem up to interpretation.
Uh-huh. But you think you know what happened?
For the most part.
Okay, go on.
Well, I can't because I don't want to spoil it.
Okay. But like, I think it's kind of deliberately abstract.
I mean, I do think that it is abstract, but I also think that there was a very clear goal in mind when Robert Eggers was making this movie. I do think that this is a retelling of a specific tale. And it's also based not entirely, but there's a significant portion of this movie that is based on a historical retelling of a tragedy that occurred back in the 1800s with two lighthouse men who were both named Thomas.
Oh, very interesting. So I can only assume that these are, we know that Robert Eggers is a stickler for historical context and that he puts in a lot of detail going down to like the accents, that the accents and language that Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe are using, very Melvillian, very much love like Moby Dick, this very specific dialect that they're using. But I think that Eggers is pulling together a lot of different strands of stories and mythologies to create kind of his own, you know, in the way that we see Tarantino taking, you know, music and pop culture references, all these disparate elements and making them into something new, taking all the pastiches and kind of bringing in this collage of pop culture and stylization that's based on these pulpy stories before, no pun intended. I think that Eggers is taking the same thing with mythologies and folklore, which he's self-proclaimed that a fan of. I think that we're getting something that probably shares a lot of the same stories that we're reading. It's a lot of this information is out there, but it's not 100% the same. Or do you think that it's clearly telling a linear story?
I mean, I kind of think it's telling a linear story. I see it as a pretty straight adaptation of some Christian mythology. But I guess that's just my interpretation of it. And with a movie like this, there are obviously various routes you could take for the interpretation of the the end product, specifically that final shot,
right,
which I think is going to be burned into my mind forever.
Yeah.
But the beats in this movie to me resonated in a very parallel way with a lot of what I grew up with as a as a young boy growing up, where my teachers would recite a lot of Christian mythology on a regular basis because I went to a private school.
Right, I went to Catholic school too. I get what you're saying.
I thought you were a public school boy.
No, I just have the swagger of a public school boy.
Yeah.
No, I wore little slacks. Little slacks and baby blue polos.
You wore ties, you wore sweaters.
No, we weren't weird. It was like a regular, it was one of those fancy private schools.
Oh, okay. I apologize.
Yeah, we had great public schools. We went to a shittier private school.
Same.
Yeah. But so I'd be interested. We'll talk maybe more about that off the pod, about which Christian myth that we think we're talking about here.
Yeah, because I do not want to spoil it, but I think anybody that is familiar with the good book might be able to pick up some of the iconic imagery that is described in this film.
Yeah, I think that there is a lot of, and that's the hard part with all this symbolism, is that you wonder, what is he pulling from? And I think it doesn't matter as much because the symbolism is there, it's innate. Like, that's why it's in these religious texts, or it's in this folklore, is that we're naturally kind of picking up on these weird creatures who thrive on symbols. And so he's kind of taking all these symbols and elements from these different stories, shaking them up and then throwing them back in your eyes and be like, reckon with this. This is what it's like to be a person. Like,
reckon with this bitch.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is the ultimate. This movie is the ultimate. Like, I put this out there and now reckon with it. How does this make you feel? And I'm like, oh, weird, man.
Yeah. So I think the one reason I do lean more towards the Christian mythological interpretation of the story that he presents is because of his only previous film is The Witch, which is, you know, very
rooted in Christian.
Exactly. Yeah.
In doctrine.
Very much so.
No, but I think that's more about folklore. Like, I don't think that I wouldn't necessarily consider that a religious movie.
Well, it depends on how you define is a religious movie to you like Fireproof or like Kirk Cameron Saves Christmas or like
no, yeah,
God's Not Dead.
Yeah. I'm feeling it's definitely a more of a like folklore and like, oh, what's in like I would be more I would be less surprised if a version of Bigfoot appeared in The Witch that like ate children than Jesus Christ showing up to give a vision. If that makes sense.
Yes.
I feel like it's more closely related to things going on in New England that are folklore-y. And I think that's where it goes back to the lighthouse. I think he's less concerned, at least for me, the Judeo-Christian myth, the more canonized stuff, that he's more into these kind of smaller folksy, like tiny cultures making weird stuff like Native American folklore and stuff like that. I bet he's much more concerned with that, but that's an interpretation based off his work that obviously we do not share. Big deep breath. Yeah. Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson. Robert Pattinson is amazing. Love him. Willem Dafoe is on a different level. That, what a perfect casting choice.
Do you think he was his first choice?
I hope so. Who do you think would have been his first choice?
I don't know. Werner Herzog.
That'd be a weird movie.
I would love it. But no, I agree. I think Willem Dafoe.
Tell me you
fucking
like my cookie. Yeah. That was a bad Werner Herzog. Do you know why? he sounds like a Bond villain.
Needs more German.
Yeah.
Willem Dafoe kills it in this movie. Like, specifically, the moment that it really, really hit me, his performance just like ingrained itself into my mind, was the monologue about his cooking. When he the seaman's curse, like it, oh boy,
it
so
is
good.
One of the, and I wish I had a bad, I'll admit that I had a bad movie going experience in this movie.
Really?
That the people next to me were like talking and having like a full conversation, and I was just like, what's going on? Like, and this is like not a mainstream movie. This isn't like I went to go see like Lion King or something, and these two like idiots are just like, yeah, let's go see the new Lion King and just talk through it. It was like, this is like an art house movie. And these people were not like watching the movie. They're just like full on talking. And I said, hey, could you please be quiet? And they were like upset about it.
Of course, people are always upset about it. But so that's the thing. I think that like, because I actually had it wasn't as egregious as your experience, but there were people next to me who were just like consistently using their phones and just like talking and laughing.
Did you see it at the draft house?
I did. I saw it at the draft house.
They didn't kick them out? What's the point?
Well, because I don't know if anybody reported them. They were in the last row. I was in the last row. So like the only people that saw them were like me and Elmer. And neither of us wanted to fucking write a note that said kick these people out, because they were like a couple seats away from us anyway. Like they weren't right next to us. So it wasn't that big of a deal. I just noticed it from the side of my eye. But
that's enough for me. Like if I want stuff in the side of my eye, I'll see it in my living room.
Yeah. But honestly, I think it's because I'm sure that they heard some of their friends talk about this movie, or they saw some I'm sure they saw some people on Twitter talking about how this is like a landmark film.
But right.
As soon as they start watching it and they realize how challenging it is, and that it's something that like these are the types of people who don't generally have to contend with a film. They're just like.
And it is a bit of a movie where you know to, like, if you're not there for something complicated and, like, oblique, that within the first 10 minutes, you're like, I got to check out of this movie. But at that point, just leave. Like,
yeah, honestly, just go get a fucking
refund.
Yeah, like, they do that. They do that all the time.
You can go up and say, hey, I thought I was seeing one movie, but I definitely was seeing a different type of movie.
Yeah,
please give me my money back.
If you're not into a movie in the first 10 minutes, don't pull out your phone and try to retreat into like your bubble. Just fucking walk out, get a refund, go see a different movie.
Yeah.
It's
or
not
like walk in open
concept.
Traffic. Like,
yeah, or that.
Yeah, anything but use your phone.
Or don't talk. Use your phone. Don't talk. Don't be making jokes about the movie.
Yeah.
You're just an annoying little bitch if you do that.
I can take like a little bit of whispering, like maybe like every once in a while.
Yeah.
But like sustained? No.
Yeah.
Sustained also, like, anything.
If it's funny banter, I'm more okay with it. Like if the commentary you're making on this live movie is funny, I'll let it slide.
But I don't want to set that precedent for anyone who exists, because 99% of people are not funny enough to have me wanting them to talk during a movie.
No. Yeah, this is true. But it happens in rare occasions. I'm like, all right, that was fine.
Yeah.
Move along. Yeah. Me is the authority of the movie going experience.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Experience movies the way that I myself want you to, because my mm-hmm. way is the only way. I'm a fascist for movies, well, at least the movie theater experience. I don't know. I think that besides my movie going experience, which I think detracted a little bit from it, I would have loved to see the movie with a packed house, just like all getting off the same vibe, because my theater was not into it. My theater
really?
Was not really into this movie at all.
Man, you just got to go to a different theater.
Yeah, I can, especially by the end, people were just like, all right, like,
man, that's annoying.
Yeah, but what can you do? Honestly, like, I'm surprised in a place like Chicago where you think people are out to see these movies. It was like a matinee show, though. So that was probably the issue. Matinees, you get a lot of weird people. People
yeah.
are like, oh, man, my roommate is having sex with his girlfriend, so I got to go. I'll go to the movies or whatever. Like. People go to movies for the most random reasons, not like to actually see the movie.
Yeah. I wonder, I honestly wonder how many people went to see this movie on a whim because they saw like a Rotten Tomatoes article about it.
I have gotten a lot of ads. I've been targeted with a lot of ads for this movie.
Well, yeah, that means A24 hired the right people.
Yeah.
I've been targeted with significant amount of ads for this movie too. But I think that we are both the target audience for this movie.
Yes, I can't imagine who they think the target market, like target audience is.
I think A24 knows pretty well. And like, you're always like, they're consistently trying to expand their market. That's the point of marketing.
This is the weirdest A24 movie I think I've seen.
I
would have the hardest time recommending to anybody I know.
Really?
Like, I know a few people who are like, you would enjoy this. Like, this would be weird for you. You would appreciate how weird this is. But I know most people would just be like, if my coworkers are like, hey, what's out? And I'd be like, well, a lot of things. and they're like, what's a movie
things,
I should go see?
Not The Lighthouse.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, if I recommend this movie to them and then they like see it and like, what did you send me to? Like, I'll have to hear about it.
Yeah, they're going to come back to you the next day and be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, if you haven't heard of this movie, even a little bit, then maybe you shouldn't see it. Like, I don't know.
Like, you like this shit? What?
Yeah, what? You sick freak? But I don't think anything else in A24 is like The Lighthouse.
I don't know. I do definitely think that there's some weird shit that they've put out. I can't go through their entire filmography at the moment, but I definitely think that there are films that are stranger than The Lighthouse. Like, don't get me wrong. The Lighthouse is weird. The Lighthouse is great. But I do think that there are more challenging films that A24 has put out that I would have a harder time recommending mm-hmm. to people that I regularly recommend movies to.
Yeah. What would you say is the best part about this movie?
Oh, boy. I don't know. It's tough. Probably the just the technical mastery on display.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think this movie looks amazing. I love that he shot it in 4:3. I love that he shot it in black and white. It just everything, like every shot from this movie looks like it could be my wallpaper in 2004.
Yeah.
It is beautiful. It's so meticulously shot. And the shadow play and light play in this film is next level. Like, I was watching this movie and I was just like, this looks like, I hate to use the term instant classic.
But here you go.
But this looks like an instant classic. Just every scene looks like, oh, you could tell me that this movie's from like 1960s and it is one of the most revered films in Hollywood. I would believe you because it just looks that good.
Yeah.
What about you?
You spilled your beans, Rob.
I did spill my beans.
I think the performances are the best part. The most enjoyable is to watch Willem Dafoe and Rob Pattinson staring each other down over some food. Doing whatever they're gonna do.
Your cooking sucks.
Yeah. I think it just captures perfectly what it's like to just be like with another person for an extended amount of time. Just like, all right, we're here. Here we go.
Did you tell me you don't have a roommate?
No, I have a roommate.
Yeah. Do you stare him down over food a lot?
often. I mean, how long do you think they're in that lighthouse?
Probably a couple weeks.
Who's to say? Not me, not you. I don't know. Overall, I would say definitely see this movie. This is a see in theaters experience.
Yeah.
Go in not knowing a whole lot and just be prepared for weird stuff. It's weird.
I will say this. If you are the type of person that listens to this podcast, you will like this movie. I think that we are both very comfortable in recommending this to people who listen to this podcast.
Yeah. Well, you could get entertainment from people who you don't agree with all the time.
Sure.
That's why I follow Donald Trump on Twitter.
That's why I follow Joe Rogan.
Yeah, see?
Go see this movie.
Go see it. All right, let's transition into a second, maybe harder sell. Zombieland Double Tap.
Really? You think this is a harder sell?
I think so. The long-awaited sequel to Zombieland, starring Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, Oscar Award winner Emma Stone, and a long time out of the spotlight, Abigail Breslin, as well as newcomers Zoe Deutsch and Rosario Dawson. Isn't that crazy?
She's not a newcomer. I mean, to the franchise, but...
Yeah, to the franchise.
Okay.
Franchise newcomers. Sorry, I should be more specific.
Yeah, she's dating a presidential candidate right now.
That's hilarious that you would say that. I'm sure he loves that you call him a candidate.
Hey, we'll see. We don't... The primaries haven't happened yet.
True. Weirder things have happened. I can't think of anything weirder, but...
Donald Trump so is far. President.
True that.
Dan, what do you think of the first Zombieland?
After this movie, I questioned how I felt about the first Zombieland.
Really?
Yes.
Without referencing this movie, when was the last time that you saw the original Zombieland?
When did it come out?
2009.
I probably saw it. I've maybe seen it like two or three times since then. The last time was probably at least 5 years ago.
Wow.
It did not stick with me.
Really? See?
Yes. I think.
But
I remembered it fondly before this movie.
I always kind of had a fondness for this movie. Because the original Zombieland was one of the first R-rated films I got to see after I like got my driver's license way back in like 2009. So I had a soft spot for this movie. And for the longest time, because I don't think I had seen it since 2009 in theaters. But I had a great time going with all my friends. And just like, we were just laughing, we were cheering, we were like, fuck yeah, this movie knows exactly what it wants to be. It's using Metallica for the intro, and it's just fun. And I hadn't seen it until a couple of weeks ago with Elmer, because Elmer hadn't seen Zombieland either. So he was like, I want to see the first one before we see Double Tap.
Right.
So I was like, all right, I'll fucking rent this movie and watch it again, because I want to know how it holds up to me 10 years later. I loved it. Like, I forgot how much, like, I felt totally vindicated in loving the original Zombieland when I was a 16-year-old, because boy, does the original Zombieland hold up, in my opinion. That movie knows how to have fun. It is hilarious. It uses visual comedy in ways that, like, you just don't get in modern day American comedies, like Judd Apatow movies or Adam McKay movies. They don't, like, it's all dialogue based, which is fine. You can have a great amount of fun with that type of comedy, but Zombieland goes the extra step where it's clever, it's witty, and it's also hilarious visually. Like, they put effort into these pratfall jokes that you, I don't think you see in a lot of other, especially R-rated comedies. Like, the amount of effort they put into the production value, the set design, and the practical and visual effects of this movie, I think is kind of unrivaled for this tier of movie. And I think we kind of got it again in Zombieland Double Tap. I was actually very pleased with how I felt walking out of this movie.
Really? Yeah. That's interesting, because I walked out of the movie and I thought to myself, was Zombieland even good?
Yeah,
because I came in being like, Zombieland is a good movie. I'm excited to see the second one. If it's more of the same, that's all I want. And I was wrong, I think. It didn't feel as imaginative. And obviously, like, the zombies have been out of the cultural consciousness for a while now, mm-hmm. considering when the first Zombieland came out, they were way in it. So it felt very jarring to maybe go back into this universe and think like, oh, they're like in 2019, but in this universe, it's all zombies.
Yes.
And it deliberately divorced itself from our like culture and whatever's going on today. And I think that in doing that, it felt very much like a movie from 2009 again. It felt like a lot of the same jokes and a lot of the same setups. It felt like almost an homage to late 2000s comedy.
Honestly, I'm not going to argue with you, because I do think that that's what I liked about it. Are you upset that it didn't have political commentary?
No, I'm not upset about that. and I don't know what I would have wanted, but it seemed like the 10 years had passed in our universe and no years had passed in their universe. It wasn't that they had spent 10 years in the zombie verse. It's that they spent like 10 minutes from 2009 to 2019, if that makes sense.
No, it does. I think that's totally fair. But honestly, I think that is one of the things I liked about this movie, is because it felt like it could have, it's a sequel that could have come out like 1 to 2 years after the original Zombieland and totally fit in. It just happened to come out 10 years afterwards, but I still feel like it gels with the original. It doesn't feel like it doesn't feel try hard. It doesn't feel like they were going for anything that would really disrupt the tone that they set up with the original Zombieland. Like, there's not a lot of social commentary. There's clearly no political commentary, even though there's some, you know, very political imagery in the film. But I kind of enjoyed it. It was kind of refreshing to just have a movie, an R-rated mid-budget, I think this budget was like $40 million.
Yeah.
Movie that just indulged in itself. Like, it didn't feel like it had a message to say. It wasn't pointed at all. It was just
definitely not
a good time. It felt like a what did Martin Scorsese say about the Marvel movies?
Like theme
park? Yeah, it was a theme park. It was a theme park ride.
Right. Okay.
And I felt like that. I was like, I'm totally into this. Like, it has been so long since I've been able to sit down in the theater, laugh, be done with this movie. Like, it's completely disposable, but I had a great time watching it.
Okay. No, I'm aligned with that reaction interpretation. I agree with you at every part, except that I really enjoyed it. I was just like, I left kind of feeling a little empty. Like I,
like your childhood was wasted, like when you were younger.
Not like
your
movies. No, I just felt like I had to go back and be like, was this exactly like how Zombieland was? Because if it was, I think the way that I remember Zombieland was a genre bending, very innovative comedy that was taking advantage of like the zombie culture around us. And now I think without the culture of zombies around us and that these people also haven't changed, it's like, man, I really remember liking you when The Walking Dead was like a big thing in my life. And there was like a new zombie movie like every like month or so. But now I'm like, I don't know if I need you, man. I don't know if I need you anymore.
See, I don't know. I think this is where we disagree, because to me, Zombieland was like Zombieland predates The Walking Dead, which I think is something that goes overlooked when we're reflecting on Zombieland, on the fact that it was this genre bending movie at a time when the genre hadn't been entirely established, at least not as we look at it today.
Right.
And to me, that made it significantly more fun. And now that I think 10 years later, I do think that they actually made a pretty smart choice in waiting this long. And I was doing some reading.
I don't know if it was a choice.
No, apparently Woody Harrelson, they've been trying to get Zombieland, the franchise, off the ground for years. Do you remember when Amazon did the Zombieland TV show pilot that crashed and burned?
Yes.
They tried to get Woody Harrelson back for a sequel like 2 years after the original Zombieland, and he refused unless it was the original team making this movie.
Makes sense.
They finally got the original team back. Like, it turns out Ruben Fleischer can actually direct a fun movie still, even though like the last good movie he directed was Zombieland 1. Maybe this is just his franchise. Like, if he just sticks to this franchise, maybe he'll continue to make enjoyable movies.
Yeah, I mean, they're already talking about doing a spinoff with Madison, who, despite my initial hesitancy, I really enjoyed her in the movie.
So that's another thing is I remember seeing these trailers and I was like, oh, they're just going to make like dumb blonde jokes the entire time. Like, this is just an easy out for them.
Yeah.
But she was great. Like Zoe Deutsch. Yeah. She killed it. She was hilarious. And like, that is so hard for such like a tropey character to be as funny and refreshing as she was, I think takes some talent.
Yeah, no, she was the highlight of the movie for me. I've been surprised because when I saw Jesse Eisenberg, I was like, oh, hey, buddy, I haven't seen you in a while. Like, I don't think I've seen him in
since
something.
Batman vs. Superman?
No, since end of the tour.
Was that post Batman vs. Superman?
I think so.
I haven't seen that. It's been on my Amazon watch list forever because the David Foster Wallace like fictionalized account.
Yeah.
I hear it's good. I do want to see that. I love Jesse Eisenberg. I think the craziest thing about this movie is the fact that the cast doesn't look like they've aged at all.
No. Yeah. They all look exactly the same. Abigail Breslin looks like being, I mean, it's like a cute kid syndrome. Like, she was just like the most adorable kid, and it's like Macaulay Culkin. Like, you just grow up and you're like,
Yeah. So
totally regular person.
Yeah. Totally regular. I guess that is. It is weird seeing how, because what has she done since Zombieland?
I think zero things. Honestly, she like was a huge child star, and then she was in everything for like a hot second.
Every movie I saw. Really? Because I remember she got the Oscar for Little Miss Sunshine, or she got the nomination. She did Zombieland. What else?
I don't know, man. I literally
You just said she was in like everything you'd seen.
Yeah, before Zombieland, when she was like a kid, I feel in Zombieland she was like becoming a young adult, hitting that weird like teen phase. And then it just
she had to start getting edgy.
Yeah, I don't think she got edgy, though. I don't think she did anything. That's what I'm talking about.
She must have done something.
Well, I guess I'm like, just pulling up her filmography.
I do not believe that she came out of retirement to do Zombieland 2.
All right, let's see. Yeah, she's done things like every year. Wow. After Zombieland, she did Janie Jones.
Okay.
Rango.
Oh, and, okay. Cool.
Zambezia. I don't know what that is.
Don't know what that
Haunter,
is.
Haunter, some Canadian horror movie.
Sure.
The Call, American psychological thriller, crime. August Osage County.
I'm sorry, was that the title of a movie that you just read?
August Osage County?
No, American psychological thriller.
No, that's the description of The Call.
Okay. Is that the one with Halle Berry?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that. Okay.
Huh. Looks like it made an impression on somebody. Ender's Game. She was in the Ender's Game. Oh, and then she was in a direct-to-video movie. Woof. Something called Perfect Sisters. And then, yeah, this is not. Oh, and then like nothing. Oh, yeah, a lot of weird stuff.
Ouch.
Maggie, that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
I do remember that. Actually, the movie that I want to watch, because I love seeing Arnold Schwarzenegger being dramatic and sad about his daughter becoming a zombie.
Oh, is that what that movie's about?
That's what that movie's about. She gets bit by a zombie and Arnold Schwarzenegger is just like, well, I guess I gotta kill my fucking kid.
Hell yeah. Interesting. But yeah, so it seems like her career has had some ups and downs.
Man, interesting. Meanwhile, everyone else is going on to get like Academy Award nominations.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I feel kind of bad for her. Ouch.
Yeah, she's definitely, I mean, she's 23. So she can turn around.
She's got time. Yeah, she's got time. Jesse Eisenberg is like, what, 30 something, which I don't believe because he looks like younger than I do.
He looks eternal.
He does look eternal. What is he going to look like when he's old? When he's like 90?
He's 36 right now.
Jesus fucking. How is that man almost 40 years old and he looks like an underclassman?
Yeah, but not like in a very weird way.
He looks like an underclassman that looks like he belongs in accounting job.
Yeah, he looks like a kid who looks like the oldest man.
Yeah, but he's forever going to be straddling that line.
Yes, definitely. There's no way he can get out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think a lot of the writing is pretty like sharp. Obviously, Zoe Deutsch is really great in this movie. But for me, I think you said it pretty well that if you're looking for a dumb joyride back in Zombieland, you're going to get exactly that. That is exactly what this movie is. It's not going to really innovate too much. It's really just going to give you the same thing. And if you're into that, see it. If you're not, don't.
Agreed. This is not The Lighthouse. This is not a challenging movie. Although I do think it gets kind of weird, like weirder than I was expecting at certain points. And I also love the bit with like Luke Wilson and Thomas Middleditch. I think those are some fantastic cameos. I wish that they had lasted longer. Also the mid-credits scene, legendary. Seeing the movie just for that.
Maybe just for that. It is pretty hilarious. Won't spoil anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait till
not.
It comes out on YouTube or go see Zombieland Double Tap.
I say go see it because I think that here's how I would recommend seeing this movie. Watch Zombieland 1 again. If you think you still enjoy Zombieland 1 like I did, I say see Zombieland 2 because this is almost, I think, as good as the first film. I had just as much fun watching it. And so I saw this twice. Like I saw this one weekday because I was bored and I have the season pass for Draft House. So I'm just like, I'm just going to go see this because I want to.
Right.
I enjoyed it then. And then I saw it again with Elmer after showing him the original Zombieland. And I still had a good time with it. And I feel like that's the sign of an enjoyable movie. If I
that's
can watch
psychopathic.
It.
I can't believe you did that.
Multiple times in one week after watching the original, I'm like, yeah, this is good. This is enjoyable. This is a fun time. Like I left feeling the muscles in my face sore after smiling.
So yeah, like, it's also a good thing to see with friends. Like if you're all like laughing along to the same things.
Absolutely. Yeah. See it a little bit drunk.
And that's the God's honest truth.
Yep.
Yeah. So overall, we got to see it. If you're into it, don't see it. If you're not into it, it's perfect. It's so easy.
It's so easy. If if you know what movies you like, you should see a movie that you think you'll like.
Don't give them the secret, Rob.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
What will they do with that information?
They'll stop listening to us.
Yeah. All right. You know what's really interesting, though? What we got going on next week. Because next week, I think we have a few options, but I think there's two that I'm pushing for.
Oh, what are they?
So here are the movies that are coming out next week. We've got Motherless Brooklyn, the Ooh. Edward Norton playing a Ooh. Tourette's detective. We got Harriet, the Harriet Tubman biopic. Arctic okay. Dogs, a movie about, guess, animated Arctic dogs.
Yeah, we're not. Nope.
Jeremy Renner is one of the dogs.
I will not. Oh, apparently James Franco is too.
they're really knocking it out of the park.
I will not watch any more movies with Jeremy Renner in them.
Just because you're sick and tired of them?
Just because I'm sick and tired of men shoving guns in their ex-wives' mouths and threatening to kill them.
Wait, what the fuck are you talking about?
I'm sorry. Have you not heard of the Jeremy Renner news?
No, what's the Jeremy Renner news?
Let's go over the movie news this week. In a new lawsuit. In a new lawsuit that has been made public because Jeremy Renner's ex-wife is suing for custody of their kids. She alleges that he would get drunk, come home, spout suicidal thoughts, and on occasion would put a gun in her mouth and threaten to pull the trigger in the middle of his tirades.
Huh.
Yeah.
So is that where you got the idea from, Rav?
Yes.
God, that's what this in Jeremy Renner? How is this secret for so long?
It's not. You can literally Google it.
Jeremy Renner, here are the top three suggestions for Jeremy Renner. Uh-huh. Jeremy Renner music, Jeremy Renner oh. app, Jeremy Renner wife.
Yeah, click wife.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, wow. It's a lot of stuff.
It's
Jeremy Renner's
ton.
Ex-wife claims he bit their daughter. Huh. Yeah. Disney, quote, considered replacing Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye after actor was accused of threatening to kill ex-wife.
Yep.
Is this what the app was about?
I don't honestly know what the app was about. I know it got shut down. But I did download it for a little bit just because I wanted to see a Jeremy Renner icon on my fucking home screen at all times.
That's how they get you.
Yeah.
So I recommend or Terminator Dark Fate. I recommend Terminator Dark Fate and Motherless Brooklyn are my pitches.
I mean, I will see both of those, but Dark Fate definitely, just because apparently it's not atrocious, which is a nice change of pace for the Terminator franchise.
Yeah.
Linda
Hamilton. Did you ever see Linda Hamilton.
Genesis? No.
Yeah.
Did you?
No. I don't know if anybody saw it.
Should we watch it before seeing this movie? Because I think the ultimate
scary movie.
I think watching Genesis before Terminator Dark Fate will make Dark Fate that much better.
Could be true. Interesting. I'm down, I guess.
If it's on a streaming service, I will watch it. But I'm not giving any money to that movie.
Yeah, I'm not paying for it.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see what this this new one is going to be.
Hey, James Cameron is back, apparently.
Producing.
I mean, it's more than he did for the past two movies.
True that. All right. So we picked out the two movies. Perfect. I love it.
Yeah, get ready for a fun weekend full of autistic detectives and Terminator robots from the future.
And now if only we could get in the same movie, that'd be perfect.
Hey, we're only a couple years away from that. They're running out of ideas. They're going to have to start combining plots pretty soon.
All right. Let's wrap this stuff up. You know how to follow us at Viewing Angles on Twitter, viewingangles podcast.com. follow us on Spotify, you know, subscribe, download that stuff, play it, play it in your whole house. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah, Rob, how do the people know about you?
Know about me on Twitter at Robert Jr. JR. Don't forget to buy that merch and play our podcast on every Alexa in your house.
Yeah, just say, Alexa, play Viewing Angles.
Exactly. It's that easy.
It's that easy, I assume.
You've never done it? Wow.
Well, we're about to find out as soon as we get off this this podcast. Yeah. But until next week, nuts, it's been real.
Bye.
Bye.